Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever and wherever you are listening. This is Backfield Banter, and we got Bob Zimmerman kicking us off again. I'm here with Zach McLeod, and then as always, we got Big Will Stevens on set in beautiful Tampa, Florida. We're going to talk a little bit about, just some of the athletes that have trained here or are training here that are in college right now and how they're doing, and we're going to look and just give an early season update. So we've been talking a lot about Max Martin lately, Zach. We'll just kick off with him because let's just go over his day yesterday. I mean, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, Max is a guy that came in over the break, got to work with him a little bit. Really good kid, a starting shortstop over at Kansas State. His season numbers right now, he's hitting .524 with 7 home runs and 5 doubles.
Not a bad full season.
Yeah, through 12 games. So he's averaging a extra base hit a game right now. But we've just been kind of texting back and forth after his games, and he's just dominating. His weekend, this past weekend against William & Mary, had 5 home runs in 3 games.
Can we talk about, like, because we see a lot of times, like, in these PBR events, like, so-and-so, 104 exit velo, and they make a big deal about this, but then you look at these guys go play, and, like, they have zero consistency, or when they do hit the ball, it's 92. Can we talk a little bit about Max's on his hits this weekend?
Yeah, he sent me a tweet and I sent it over to Bob. But yesterday he had his first at bat, he had 109 exit velo bomb, and then he had a single at 97, and then a bomb again at 106, and then a 109 mile an hour single, and then a 111 mile an hour double backside. I texted him. I just said you were sitting at 106, which. If you do that, you're gonna go 5 for 5.
It's back to that consistency.
Yeah, and then the day before he had a leadoff home run and it was dead center, 411 feet, 111 miles an hour at a 17 launch angle. Like that launch angle is basically it's a line drive. So he's just hitting rockets everywhere, which. Yeah. He works hard, and he wants it really bad, so it's good to see that everything's kind of falling in place for him.
Yeah. And Max is originally from the Northeast. My brother, who's an agent, rents him. That's how we got hooked up with him originally. And he's taken the route. He went to Rutgers out of high school, then to
Georgia State, I believe.
Georgia State, and then is now at K-State. And just really awesome to see that kid and how good a kid he is have such success.
Mm-hmm. So it's been really good. And he's been doing it against big schools, too. I think he had a home run against, like, North Carolina and a big double against Arkansas and all that stuff. So it's really good. Hoping to get him back in the facility again when he's driving back home after the season stopped through. So it'd be good to have him. I know you were talking about Brandon Stone earlier, so maybe you can kind of touch on him a little bit.
Yeah, Brandon Stone out at South Carolina. He's having a phenomenal year. They're using him out of the pen, but he's getting a starter's workload. And I don't have the stats in front of me, but I think he's had like 4 appearances, and he's got double-digit innings in those 4 appearances. Do you have those in front of you?
Yeah, I'm going to look him up right now.
Okay, but yeah, he's been striking guys out, not giving up any runs, not walking guys, and that's a recipe for success when you do those things. And another kid, and we've talked before about like the routes these guys take, and he went to junior college last year where he could have gone to some decent D1 schools out of high school, but thought going to junior college and getting the innings would be more beneficial for his career. And I think it has been because he got 70-some innings last year at a JUCO and now is in the SEC throwing every weekend.
And he's got a 1.9 ERA, 18 innings, got a save, 23 punch outs. He's got only 3 walks, so I mean, he's just filling the zone up. Just from the little bit I got to see him throw live in the summer when we had our college pitchers and hitters go up against each other, he's just a big sinker, and it's a lot of ground balls, and he competes hard. And so, again, like, I'm always a big junior college proponent, but went to Johnson County, and I think he got like 80 innings. It was a lot of innings. Maybe it was 100. It might have been 100.
It was a lot.
It was a lot. Went all the way to the World Series through the World Series game. So,
he was a JUCO pitcher of the year.
Yeah,
honestly.
I believe he was JUCO pitcher of the year, too.
And,
so.
And so, I mean, you look at like his class, and there were a lot of other guys that went, you know, to Power Fives out of that same class. And, I mean, we can go look. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I'd be willing to bet he's thrown five times as many innings as any of those other guys.
I was just telling a kid this the other day when had them in, what they were working out. He was talking about like these schools that he was looking at, and it's like really good JUCOs and stuff. And I was like, well, you need to go somewhere you're going to play, because if you're going to go sit at a JUCO, then you might as well just go to the D2s that are offering you. Because like, if you're going to, the whole point of going to a JUCO is to play. So you want to go somewhere you can play. I know we all want to win, and we all want to do all that stuff, but like, if you're going to a JUCO, it's because you want to play baseball. And that's the whole point, because you're going there so that you can end up like Brandon is, at a school that he wants to be at, where he's throwing a lot and a big role.
Yep.
And so I guarantee if he came on, he would say, yeah, those 100 innings I threw at Johnson County made me feel very ready to go throw in the SEC, which is the whole point.
100%.
So any other pitchers that you've been kind of keeping your eye on?
I mean, Tommy Lepore's been having a season. He's down at TCU. He was at Wichita State last year. Another guy that went to one of those mid-majors, got a ton of innings,
mm-hmm.
and really developed in those innings. And now is, you know, at a Power 5 school and one of their weekend starters. I think their Saturday starter, and been throwing the ball really well.
That's good. It's really good. Yeah, Ethan and Colin Guerra are brothers that came in. Ethan's at Arizona. He texted me. He got a hit this past weekend, which was good. I think they were playing Pepperdine, I believe. And then his brother Colin's doing a really nice job over at Chipola, which is, it's funny because like, they've played 31 games already, because when you're in Florida and you're a JUCO, you start very early and you get going. So their schedule looks like it's kind of tapering off a little bit. It's like Wednesday, Saturday, or Wednesday, Friday, Saturday now, instead of playing like five games on a weekend. But he's doing a really nice job. He's swinging it really well. Then Jeremy Rader at Houston Christian's a guy that I've been working with in the weight room and on the hitting side. And he got a start at second base yesterday and got a knock.
Nice.
Hoping that turns into more innings there. He's a guy that's really good with the glove, and he's got a good bat too, and he's a guy that he transferred from a school in the conference, but he wanted an opportunity to start every day instead of kind of be a defensive specialist, like platoon guy, and looks like he's getting that opportunity. He's made some starts back and forth and had a good day yesterday, so hopefully it turns into more and more starts.
Yeah, I mean, and those opportunities are so important.
Yeah.
And like, we see it every year with, you know, guys going, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying like don't go to a Power mm-hmm. 5 school, but like, there's probably a time and place for it. And if you go, you know, like Stone's path and go prove it and earn the innings and get the experience, then you're more ready to step in at that Power 5 school, and you usually have a little longer leash than when you go there as a freshman, don't mm-hmm. throw much as a freshman, got to kind of earn that respect and earn that those leverage innings or leverage at bats. And so sometimes like your path to playing there, it's a little bit harder.
Yeah, and I think a lot of kids, and honestly parents too, want to jump the gun, and it's like, well, they've got an offer to name a Power 5 school, so we're just going to take it now. It's more about, are they ready for that opportunity? It's the same thing with pro ball. I was talking to Robert Moore about that, and he was saying, because we were just talking about high school hitters, if you should go, if you shouldn't go, and he was just like, you need to have all the tools in your tool belt when you decide to go to pro ball, which is, it's good advice, because it's a performance-based business.
Yeah.
And so if you go a year early or 2 years earlier before you're ready, your career could end a lot earlier than just like taking that extra year to polish things up and then go. And it's different for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, but dude, it's same as SEC baseball.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not ready, like, you're going to get the opportunities.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've seen it through the years a lot. Like, you get guys like Riley and Joey, and it's like they're ready at 18. And then you get other guys where it's like, yeah, I can definitely see that they can take their draft slot, but I don't know if it's a great idea to, you know. And it's like, what if we wait a couple years, kind of see how it's going? Because my whole theory is like, you know, the cream always rises to the top. So it might be like, hey, I'm a high school pick and I'm going to go. And then maybe you flame out after a couple years. It was probably going to happen if you committed to Arizona.
Yeah,
you know,
correct.
Or if you commit to Arizona State or KU or K-State or South Carolina, any of these places, you know, because those things are going to happen because everybody else is kind of in the same boat as you. They were probably getting talked to by teams. So that it always just kind of separates itself. It's just where and when it's going to happen.
No, absolutely. So, I mean, and then there are, you know, freshmen that are getting opportunities in the SEC, and getting an inning here and there is kind of a big deal for freshmen in the SEC. I mean, it's so competitive. They're getting guys from every conference from the transfer portal. I mean, that's where everybody wants to go.
Your guy at Texas A&M last year, he got innings as a
Kaden Wilk.
Yeah, he got innings as a freshman, which I don't remember, it was like 20-something, and people don't understand, like, that's a lot of innings if you're a freshman.
His was all backloaded, too. Mm-hmm. Like, he really had to earn his way and kind of figure some stuff out. I mean, he's... Cade Wilson's one of the most talented, you know, arms that's walked through here. He can do a lot, throws hard, left-handed, can spin the breaker, but still gotta, you know, develop and get those innings to maximize. The stuff's great, but if you're not in game performing, like, it doesn't always do you well.
Exactly.
But yeah, he got 20 some innings last year. He's had I think 3 outings this year. Bunch of strikeouts, which with his stuff, mm-hmm. expect that. I think it's over 2 an inning. I looked at it earlier today.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully his role keeps growing and his opportunities keep growing. Same thing. I mean, we got 3 guys down at Arkansas. We got Ben Bybee, Tate McGuire, and Cole Gibler. And Ben is a junior, and he's been starting in the midweeks for him, so he's been getting some opportunities. And then Tate and Cole have been throwing in relief, and both been doing well. So hopefully their roles keep growing as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think some other guys like that have been around the facility a lot. Guys I coached at MU, Javi, Sean, and Bryce. And Javi had like 2 triples, a bomb, and a couple doubles this weekend. He was a single away from the cycle 1 game. And then I know Sean had a home run yesterday, and Bryson had a couple starts over the weekend, a couple hits. All those guys are doing well. Older guys, seniors in college, so I'm kind of making a push at the end. I think, man, last time I checked, I think Javi was hitting like 450 or like 15 games in. So he's doing well. And then Luke Briley is at Neosho, transferred from a D2 in there at the break. He's made some starts, thrown guys out, got some hits. Should be more and more starts coming his way. David Golden texted me and said he got his first college at bat, walked with the bases loaded, got an RBI.
All right, let's go.
And he got a start. I looked that up. David didn't tell me he got a start. Would have loved that text, but that's fine. I guess I'll see that through the internet. I'll just Google search it. And then another JUCO guy I work with, Michael Clayton, he's hitting like 350 with a 500 OBP. So I know he's a sophomore looking for a 4-year, so he's putting up good numbers for that. And then a guy that we share, Simon Murray, I don't know if you've looked up his numbers.
Simon, I haven't yet.
Throws hard. He's like 95-mile-an-hour left-handed arm, but last year he couldn't hit because he messed up his wrist, his like right wrist. He's a left-handed arm or something.
Yeah, left-handed arm.
But anyways, he's hitting this year. He's hitting like, when I checked yesterday, so the stats from whatever they played this weekend were on it, but he had like 280 with like 3 home runs and an elite bat flip in one of his home runs. So you can check that on Twitter. But all those guys are doing well, which is nice to see.
Yeah, it is. And there's so many guys that we, you know, aren't mentioning, but don't think
we're not following up on it.
And then, I want to talk about J.J. Talicki a little bit, too, just because he's a guy. He went to JUCO out of high school, was a hitter all the way up till senior year, started pitching, and then went to KU after a year at the junior college and just never got to throw and stayed there again because they, you know, told him he was going to be in their plans, but wasn't again. So finally transferred to Youngstown State, and Youngstown has given him the opportunity. His first couple starts were kind of rough, but they're letting him start and they're riding with him. And so he had his 4th start this last weekend. I think went 5 innings, 2 runs, like 6 punchies. But once again, my point being is that he found that place where he's going to have opportunity. Yeah. And, you know, who knows how it's going to shake out throughout the year. But if he keeps developing with how good his stuff is, like, somebody might give him a chance at the next level now that he's had opportunity and actually.
And he's like an easy 95. He's an easy 95. Yeah, I think in the summer. Arms. Yeah, I mean, in the summer, he was like 98 a couple times. And it's not, there's not a lot of effort behind it. And actually, I'm not saying from like a stuff standpoint, but he reminds me of Will a little bit, where it's like this hard thrown guy, started pitching later in high school, didn't have a lot of experience with that, went to a bigger school, Will transferred to a JUCO and then ended up at a mid-major, threw a bunch of innings, and then got his opportunity to capitalize on it. Now he's in pro ball. So JJ kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's big. Like, I didn't start pitching until really senior year. And then Bob talking to you guys convinced me to go to Iowa Western. And even that, I think, was kind of a bold decision just from the standpoint of Iowa Western is not a junior college. They have a Division I roster. Most of the guys that I played with either went to a Power 5 school or got drafted out of there or both. I think if I would have gone to Wichita State, I probably would have ended up, you know, transferring down. And I mean, not that that's a bad thing at all, but I would have gone the same route regardless just a year or two later.
And I think those innings on the mound at Iowa Western were big for you, just from like learning how to navigate out, because you've always had the arm. JJ's kind of the same way. Like, you just come watch him throw in the facility, you're like, wow, this guy is super talented.
Yeah, I think the bigger thing with that is you get, especially in junior college, you get all the off-season reps. You know, you go to a Division II and that kind of stuff, you get them more as a freshman, like especially out of junior college. Like we were at the field for 4 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that is allegedly, not an exaggeration.
Allegedly.
Sorry. That was before regulations, you know, and we're fine. We didn't have lights, so there was a cutoff period. But you get so many more reps than going to those big schools that scrimmage 3 days a week. With really, they scrimmage with their top arms most of the time because those are the dudes that they're prioritizing anyways.
So once again, goes back to the opportunity, and the opportunity can help development more than anything.
I think really the big thing that we're trying to say is the biggest school does not always mean best fit.
Correct.
Like you got to go where the best fit. If the best fit for you is an awesome D2, then go there. If the best fit for you is LSU, then go there. Okay, and not everybody gets to the same place at the same time. Like we have plenty of JUCO guys, plenty of D2 guys that walking around the facility that are playing pro ball now. Like Josh Borka, JUCO and D2 guy. Grant Gavin, he went to UCM too, right? Yeah. Johnny Sprinkle is a D2 guy. We have a lot of guys that, you know, didn't just go to a Power 5 right away that end up. And it's because, you know, not everybody finishes the race at the same time. Like, you know, different guys take different routes to get to the finish line. So.
Correct. And without the game reps to bolster you there, like you're not gonna get there.
Exactly. So, but yeah, I mean, a lot of our guys are doing well. Do you have any other pitchers you want to talk about, or do you want to kind of transition?
Sure, 7,000.
Yeah, I know. You've got a lot of guys.
But yeah, let's transition to some of the pro guys, and especially with that spring breakout.
Yeah.
Maybe give a little info on that first.
Yeah, the spring breakout is, I think they started last year, but it's like every team sends, it's a one game where they basically get to showcase their prospects. Yeah. So it's I want to say I saw something like it was 70 something of the top 100 prospects will be participants in the game. I'm sure a lot of those are because one, maybe it's a high school kid in rookie ball, so they're not going to throw him into the fire, but also injuries play, you know, a part of it. Like I know the Royals, I think Blake Mitchell's on the team, but it's not playing because of something. But, you know, so there's a lot of top prospects in there. And lucky enough, we have like five or six guys representing. So Harper, who was on last time, he got the announcement, which I already gave him trouble, but I found out via Trevor reposting something. But he said he claims he was at practice, so he couldn't, whatever. Yeah. And then Noah Cameron, who's thrown here and worked out here. Carter Jensen, who's worked out here and hit here since he was in high school.
He can throw the ball.
Well, I mean, he's a top 100 prospect catcher, so I'd assume he can throw a little bit, you know. Yeah. And then a couple guys that you work with on the pitching side, Ryan Lambert, Jacob Mizorowski. So I don't know a lot about Ryan, so maybe you can talk about Ryan.
So he's another guy. He went to Mo State out of – he might have gone to a JUCO for a year and then to Mo State, but didn't get any innings. And then went to the Northwoods in summer ball, and they just were like, yeah, we're just going to give you innings. And he, of course, he just – completely dominates. He was, at that point, he was probably like 94, 96. And then Oklahoma gave him a scholarship, and he, you know, kept developing. And last year, Oklahoma, he was, you know, like 98 to 102. And once again, I mean, threw like 30 innings there as a guy with just an elite arm. Got drafted, I think, the eighth round by the Mets. And he's just continuing to take off. I mean, that guy's got such a bright future ahead of him.
Mm-hmm. But again, it's about fit, because you said he was at Missouri State, right?
Yep.
So people would be like, oh, why is he going from Missouri State to Oklahoma if he didn't throw that much? It's about fit.
Yep. An opportunity.
And,
you know.
Because a lot of people don't understand,
the Summer League gave him the opportunity.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that, you know, for whatever Missouri State was doing, like, whether they're had too much pressure on them to like win in those games and had guys they trusted more, so they're like, yeah, we're not gonna put you in there. But then in summer ball, they're like, yeah, we need you to throw to develop and get your innings. Once he had his opportunity, like, he was able to take off.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't understand, like, when you're coaching a team, the goal isn't to play the most talented people. It's to win the game, which, because there's a lot of times, if you go to LSU, there's probably some freshman that has not thrown or played that much, whether it's a hitter or a pitcher, and he probably has more talent than some guys that are playing right now. It's just that junior already probably played as a sophomore, and so that coaching staff knows exactly what they're going to get, and they trust
the experience.
And so, you know, that could have been that situation where it's like, I don't know if the situation, but Missouri State maybe had older guys that were already in that role, and so they're like, hey, we're going to give these innings to this guy, and then Oklahoma had openings, and he was allowed to fight for that position and then won it. So, again, fit. A lot of it's about fit. So if you're a high school kid and you're like, why am I not getting offered by this school, or why are they saying I'm not going to play? It's fit and opportunity. You have to understand that.
But yeah, but he's an exciting arm, man. He pitched in the draft league last year, set like the draft league record for hardest fastball. Will, kind of disappointed in you, bud, that couldn't compete with that. But yeah, so excited to see him. And then, Jacob Mizorowski is just...
freak show.
It's unbelievable, like, the things he does and the talent he has. And just such a genuine, nice human being. And, like, I'm so happy for him and all his success.
Yeah.
And another JUCO guy.
Yeah, Crowder, I believe.
Crowder, yeah.
Second round out of there.
Was Oklahoma State, out of high school. Ended up going to Crowder. Tore his knee. Fielding a bunt, first inning of the first game.
Bummer.
Of his freshman season, out that whole season, so had to redo it his sophomore year, and turned out all right.
Yeah, I think his second round pick out of there, if I'm right. The year I was shadowing for scouting, I watched him when he was like 16, and the big thing on him, he was like 93 as like a 16-year-old. Like, he was throwing absolute BBs. Now, he might have been like 150 pounds. Yeah. I mean, he was so thin. And his velo would drop. So this is my plug to get into a strength program and to gain weight. But his velo would drop, and I remember a cross-checker was just like, oh, you know, like once he gains weight, like... he'll be able to sustain that. It's just like age, maturity, you know, whatever. Because it was like clockwork. It was like 40 pitches, boom, down to like 85, 86. And so it's funny now. I mean, he threw his first bullpen, and I was just watching off to the side. But he was like, that's my first bullpen I haven't thrown in a while. I was like 97. I was like, all right, dude. Crazy. And then the old, like, I don't want to say older guys, more established. That we should say older guys.
There you go.
Joey, Danny, Dakota, all that came on the podcast have been throwing well this spring training. So, it's good to see those guys, and, you know, obviously they're going to keep doing their thing and see how everything shakes out at the end of spring and see where they get to report to and how everything's going to go.
Yeah, looking for a big year.
Big years from all three of them. All these guys, it's good to see all the college guys doing well. I mean, it's weird because, like, their season's probably, depending on what level you're at, third or halfway over. Yeah. And then the pro guys are going to be starting here in, like, a month?
Yep.
Is that about right? Yeah, somewhere in there. Yep. So it's pretty crazy.
It is. It's crazy how it all works out, but a lot of baseball going on.
Wasting a lot of time that I should probably be doing other things with, watching, but that's okay.
That's right. That's what we do.
But, all right. I think that's all we got, unless you got any. I saw Tennessee sign some guys, Tennessee Titans. The NFL's just been popping off right now.
The NFL, the way they...
because they have it's like a legal tampering period, which makes no sense. The word legal and tampering can't go next to each other. But yeah, I've been getting blown up today.
But they market, like, the way the NFL markets, how it's like the start of baseball season, like prime, we should all be excited.
Yeah.
But yet we're all excited about the NFL, which just ended a month ago.
I'm a big NBA fan too, and I think the free agency and trade deadline in all sports is probably the most fun. Like,
it
the
is.
Most
trade
exciting.
Deadline's awesome, but I just admire the NFL and how they make the little stuff so exciting.
Oh, yeah, it's like the schedule reveal.
Yeah.
They have like a whole thing for the schedule reveal. But yeah, it's been interesting. There's been a lot of action. Josh Allen became the highest paid player.
Okay.
The second highest. Something. Second most guaranteed money, I think, behind Deshaun Watson, or maybe he beat Deshaun Watson, something like that. It's $250 million is what he got. That's a lot of money.
One of the guys is earning it.
The other one
maybe
is,
not.
Is injured and probably
payroll bandit.
Yeah, so.
But yeah, Josh Allen deserves to be paid.
Dude, he's so good.
He is.
I'm going to light my brother on fire since he can't really defend himself right now, but I've been on the Josh Allen is the second best quarterback in the NFL. For a while, so people are gonna say Lamar Jackson. I get it. If you like Lamar, that's fine. I'm just saying.
I mean, there's that top.
Dude, there's like the top
five that are so good that it's like, I mean, you depending on what you're trying to do.
What you're trying to do, but we all know.
Yeah, Josh Allen can take a team with zero around him.
Yeah.
And like...
like last year, I mean, like, Khalil Shakur and who was their wide receiver they traded for from the Browns?
Amari Cooper.
Like, those were his guys.
Rookie Keon Coleman,
yeah. Dalton Kincaid. I mean, those are all good players. Yeah,
they're good players. But, like, I mean, his offensive line doesn't even have to hold up. Stiff arms, DNs out of the way to make a play.
I think he's the coolest red zone just weapon.
Oh, it's not fair.
It's like, what are you going to do with him? He's 250 pounds. They have, like... I think it was the biggest or second biggest line last year. So it was like you have the biggest quarterback, the most physical quarterback with the biggest offensive line. I think it was second after the Eagles. Okay. And so you're just mowing people down. That's been kind of
fun.
But
yeah, he's fun to watch, man. Yeah. No matter who your team is. Like,
Chiefs signed a left tackle, so that's cool.
No way.
Yeah, 49ers guy asked Frank about him. He didn't know who he was, so that made me a little nervous. But we signed a tackle, so maybe we can
protect
survive in the Super Bowl.
I mean... yeah, just give that guy a little bit of time and things will work out.
If things work out, yeah. I mean, you can give him me and you out there on the edge and maybe we can catch a ball for him.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't think I could get open or catch a pass from him, but that's okay.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe we scheme up a pick play or
something. Yeah, yeah. It's like the old, like, do you think you could get 1 yard running? And I hear people say yes all the time. Like, I don't think you can. I think you're just going to get absolutely annihilated.
The space when you get handed the ball.
Yeah, it's like people don't understand that. Like, you watch him, like, you know, we had Monte Harrison in here all offseason. He's playing football at Arkansas now, and it's like, I mean, these guys are just big people. They're just massive people.
And fast.
And fast, like, and stronger than you. Yeah,
it's crazy that all those 350-pound linemen can probably run faster.
Yeah. No, for sure can run faster than us. You've got we both got bum knees. We both got bum knees, so, you know, what are we going to do? But, all right, I think that's it.
All right, well, guys, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Make sure you subscribe.
Should we tease our maybe semi-famous guy that could come on the podcast? Should we tease that?
Maybe. Okay. Maybe. Still got to get clearance. But...
yeah, maybe it's like you just give people like a touchdown Kansas City, like you know, maybe we'll see.
We'll see. But yeah, should have some good ones coming up. Well, we'll see you soon.